straight up at 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, as we do each and every Wednesday. We are fortunate, I tell you, fortunate to speak to the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, always here to lend us some good advice, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning. Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
Great to have you on the program this morning. Enjoying your morning so far?
I am.
Good.
It's a lovely Wednesday morning.
Good. Since last we spoke, now a week ago, I recall you saying we'd have the debt ceiling raised and you seemed really sure of it. We're less than 24 hours from defaulting as a nation. Set aside how irresponsible that is. Are you as confident now as you were a week ago?
Well, let's talk about the dates. The X date, the drop dead date, is Yellen just announced that is October 18th.
Right. That's when we're out of cash.
Yeah, and so, you know, what I mentioned last week, which is true, is that this will get fixed. There's absolutely no doubt that it's going to be fixed. However, I also mentioned there's going to be a lot of volatility between now and then, because it's not everybody's on the same page. And the reason is we've got this $3.5 trillion reconciliation that in a sense is bypassing more traditional measures. And therefore, and that's the Democrats' proposal, and that's being blocked in a sense by now having to pay attention to this debt ceiling. The Republicans are using it as leverage to try and minimize the amount of spending that happens from that $3.5 trillion measure. So it's really the only thing that the Republicans have, and say, you know, okay, then you guys just figure it out on your own. We're not just going to increase the debt ceiling limit. So it does cause everybody to get very nervous, including Jamie Dimon, who just made a commentary about it, Janet Yellen, who has made commentary about this. You know, we can't default on our debt, and we won't default on our debt, but we're getting, you know, each time this happens, it raises eyebrows and can cause a lot of problems until it's fixed.
Right. So essentially, it's a game of chicken with the global economy. And if you and I were just sitting around the table chatting, I think that we would agree on that.
I would say that it is the Republicans using the little power that they have to try and combat the spending that they feel is out of control by the Democrats. So, you know, ultimately, we've got to think about our long-term sustainability as a nation with the amount of money that we spend. And, of course, the debt ceiling needs to be raised. But what does that mean, Ed? That means more debt for the U.S. government. And so we need to be careful on what we're spending. Just like any household, and I've used this example before, you know, you want more credit on your credit card, but you may not be able to make those payments. Right. And so that is the problem here as well.
Should we even have a debt ceiling? It was put into place for World War I to appease those who didn't want to go to World War I or pay for World War I. Should we still have a debt ceiling, or should we have a max limit?
Yeah, I do think, and frankly, we're there. I mean, we are indebted, and you know, children and children's children are going to be paying the price for our indebtedness. And so, yes, I do think there should be a debt ceiling limit. And, you know, once again, Congress can implement spending, but that should also be limited. Both our debt ceiling and how we're going to pay for all of these things going forward. At the end of the day, it's never free money, Ed. Right. You know, right. Any kind of program put in place, any government money that is spent comes back to taxpayers having to pay for that spending.
Okay. You mentioned J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, who said that he's once again preparing for a U.S. default. How does a company like J.P. Morgan Chase, how do they prepare for default? What would they be doing right now? What kind of preparations?
So what the concern is, it's on, you know, short-term financial instruments that, you know, let's just use an example of a money market fund. fund that never, you know, is supposed to go into the negative. And so what the risk is with default is we start having problems with the short-term lending market, and things go into the negative that are supposed to stay, in a sense, in the positive. So, you know, for a large lender like J.P. Morgan, they're trying to figure out what mechanisms can they put in place with credit default swaps to sustain the market if, in fact, this does not pass.
Okay. And yesterday, as we all know, the stock market took it on the chin, plummeting, of course, on worries about high inflation that pushed bond yield higher, and the debt ceiling debate obviously didn't help sentiment either. Is this the adjustment that you and I have been speaking about for weeks, or is this more than that adjustment?
Yeah, no, this is exactly what I was talking about. And, you know, we never know exactly what the issue is going to be. In this case, it's a multitude of things, Ed. It's the Evergrande situation, which continues to have an impact around the globe, and concerns about the China slowdown. It's the debt ceiling limit. It's the supply chain issues that are continuing, and continued inflation.
And you mentioned supply chain issues. Car prices here in the United States skyrocketing, both used and new cars. And it's because of the chips that can't be manufactured fast enough to develop new vehicles, to put out new cars. Explain to us exactly how that delay happened.
Yeah, so it's the semiconductor market. And until now, I think, you know, none of us really understood how dependent we were on those little semiconductors,
right?
It has slowed down the entire world. And so during COVID, things slowed down on manufacturing, and then they were never able to catch up. And then with issues even on shipping, you know, we have shipping issues as well. It's just magnified the whole problem. And so here we are. And I'll tell you, Ed, it's not just cars. That was a great example that you used of car prices, and that's a supply and demand issue. But have you gone to the store lately? I mean, any kind of store that you go to, and let me just use something that I'm facing right now with trying to buy furniture, and it's a 24-week delay on purchasing something that you go order. I mean, 24 weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, and you go to some stores and I look at the shelves and half of them are empty.
Right.
We've never seen anything. So another important thing to note is that many companies during COVID streamlined their offerings and took offerings completely out. So, you know, let's say a company had 10 different lines that they offered of some product, they may have cut it down to 5. And so what it means to consumers is consumers actually now have less choice, higher prices, and delays in actually getting what they're trying to buy.
Right. Okay, so it's not just cars. It's across the board. It's everywhere.
It's across the board. And what I want to say here, too, is, you know, I've been saying all along inflation was not transitory, and I think we are seeing that now. It is not transitory. Mm-hmm. Inflation is more sustained. It's going to be somewhat elevated. You know, nothing where people need to worry about like the 70s, but it is going to be noticeable as consumers try to buy things that prices are going up.
Can I ask you what specific kind of furniture you were looking for?
I'm trying to, you know, chairs and
right, just,
you know, bed frames and, you know, just furniture for a home.
Regular stuff you used to be able to just get and have it there in a couple of days, right?
Yeah. And now it's 24 weeks.
Right. Wow. So I know that there's a Fed chair and there are also Fed presidents and one of them just resigned. How many Fed presidents are there and where are they located?
Right.
And
so
what
the
do they
Federal
do?
Open, right. So the Federal Open Market Committee consists of 12 members. Okay. And you have these presidents around the country who are in charge of, you know, various Federal Reserve banks. And so with that, there's one in Dallas, Texas, and that's the president there has been Robert Kaplan, Harvard alum, bright guy. I think he actually had maybe Goldman background. I'm not sure exactly, but, you know, very accomplished man. Okay. And he is very active. He's been very outspoken, a great Fed president. He just resigned, and he resigned because there was pushback on the trading activities that he had made during the pandemic, buying and selling stocks. And what I want to comment about this is that is not disallowed. He did not do anything against policy. The policy is that as long as they disclose what they're doing, they're allowed to trade. Now, if there needs to be a change, as you know, some people are required to have blind trusts and have their investments when they're serving in certain capacities managed by other people, okay, put that policy in place. But there was no such policy in place. And unfortunately, we're losing a very bright Fed president in this resignation.
And should that policy be in place? Do you think that we'd be better off with it?
I actually do. So my point is, he didn't do anything wrong given existing policy, but I do understand the concern when you're a Fed president and you do wield quite a bit of power when it comes to Federal Reserve policy, which then has an implication potentially in the markets, that there is some tie there. Therefore, it would behoove everyone to have a policy in place so that the presidents have a blind trust while they're acting in that capacity, and somebody else is managing the money and they don't have control over it.
Always lending clarity. Laureen Gilbert, President, CEO of WealthWise Financial Services. How do we find you?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, Ed. Let's hope the debt ceiling gets resolved by
I'm
then.
Crossing my fingers and keeping you close on text.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. So bye. 8:13. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.